It's good to see each and every one of you here today. I pray that you're having a good day and even a better day as the day presses on. I just want to, as Joe said, give a plug into this morning. Come study the Word of God with us. You see, I hear often people say, well, you know, I don't know the Bible like I should. Well, you know, that's completely our fault. So, come study the Word with us. Study it at home. Don't be biblically based. Be biblically saturated. What I often say is most people professing Christians believe more what somebody says the Bible says than what the Bible actually says. Read the Word of God. Come study with us. Well, I want to introduce this morning is something my grandfather used to say that Abraham Lincoln said. Whether Abraham Lincoln said it or not, I can't tell you. But he did say this, stand up, speak up, and shut up. Now, the whole part of this is as we come into the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, we're coming to a conclusion with a very interesting set of passages, and this will conclude our chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, I had sent Amanda the passages, and it was my fault. I messed up, so I'm going to back up one. But if you could, please stand with us as we read the Word of God. And I want to back up. Actually, it's two verses. I'm going to start at 30. I sent her 32 through 40, but bear with me. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. And by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient, after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For a time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets. What more shall I say? It's not that he didn't have enough examples. He was running out of time. And he says, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, and obtained promises, shut mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, become mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated. Men and men of whom the world was not worthy. Wandering in the deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground, and all of these having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Please hold to that. Because God had provided something better for us. Please hold to that. So that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. You may be seated. As we are ending the chapter on the Hall of Faith, I want to give you four things to jot down this morning. I want this to be an encouragement to you. Now, the first part of this, I don't think that will be a problem. The second part, you may disagree. But what I want you to understand is, do we really trust who God says He is? Now, it's easy for me to get up here and tell you that. And it may be easy for you to sit there and say that you do. But if you believe God is who He says He is, then I promise you, you will grow in your faith. You see, the Bible says that first, by faith, Rahab, the harlot, and he's talking about the walls of Jericho, did not perish along with those that were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Of course, you know the story. Here is a Gentile woman in the midst of Gentile people who put trust in Yahweh, in God. Now, Rahab was a harlot. She was a prostitute. But let me tell you something that's very interesting. Write this down. God uses flawed people. You see, she was what the world would condemn. She was flawed. But yet, do you know a good secret to this? It's not really a secret. You can find it in the book of Matthew. She's in the lineage of Jesus. Do you know that? He was David's great-great-grandmother. God will use flawed people for His glory. It's not about what you have, it's who has you. God, she trusted in her faith in God's promises, she was justified. For everybody around her perished but her. Remember this, the majority is not always right. Then the Bible says, and what more shall I say? The stand up, speak up, and shut up part. Again, it's not that there's not so many examples. He's running out of time. Trying to convince these Hebrew believers, okay, hold to the promise. You see what I said a while ago? Hold to that. You'll see where I'm going with this. Now, he mentions a group of people in verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel. Well, I'll tell you about them. You see, this takes place in the time of Judges. It was a time when Israel had no king between the conquest of Canaan and Saul. Okay? Judges 21:25, I believe it says, for everyone did what was right in their own eyes. You hear that? So God would raise judges. We call it the cycle of sin. What would happen was God would raise a judge. They would be restored, if you will. Then they'd fall into sin. He'd raise up another judge. And see, even these were flawed. Gideon, he defeated the Midianites with 300 men. He was flawed because at first he was cowardly. But yet God used him in his flaws to conquer the Midianites. How about Barak? You see, what's interesting about Barak, he defeated the Canaanites. But here's the deal. He had to have Deborah go with him. Deborah was a female judge because there wasn't any men enough to lead. And sometimes to get somebody going, it takes a swift kick in the pants. Prodded him, and he led him to victory. Here's a man that needed some encouragement. Let's talk about Samson. He was a great man of the who would defeat the Philistines, the jawbone of a donkey. He was tough. But Samson got misguided by somebody. And he lost his strength. But yet in the end, with all his might, the walls came down. And he took out himself and those that were around him. God gave him strength. How about Jephthah? So, Chad, who is that? Well, I tell you, he defeated the Ammonites. But let me tell you something interesting about him. See, his mama was a harlot. And he was driven off by his half-brothers. But all of a sudden, the people plead for him to come help him, come back and lead them into battle. And he does. And he wins. But he makes a stupid vow that the first thing that come through the door of his house that he would sacrifice, and it ended up being his daughter. Now, these men had many flaws, but they are listed in the Hall of Faith. Why? Because it shows you that if you're faithful in God's promises and you believe that, then He will see you through. It's when we get our eyes off of Him is when we fail. Amen? They were flawed. Let's think about this for a few minutes. David, a man after God's own heart, as a teenager, he had faced Goliath. And again, as I tell you many times, people talk about, oh, it's big versus little. Forget that. That's not what it's about. It's about a man said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine running his mouth about our God? You come at me with sword and spear, but I come at you in the name of the living God. God fought that battle. But yet, David, in his honor and his ability to wage war, he looked upon a woman lustfully. Then he killed her husband, or had him killed. Then he covered it up. But yet he is a God, man after God's own heart. How is that? Because David knew what faith was and David repented. How about Samuel, the prophet? Well, let me just tell you something. He was a bad parent. But yet through him, God used him. They are flawed people. And I'm not justifying flaws, but what I am saying, when you're faithful and you cling to God's promises, He'll walk with you. If you see their failures, it's just like us people. Listen to me. I want to encourage you. Every one of us are flawed. We're imperfect people who serve a perfect Christ. But any of us at any given time get our eyes off Jesus, we can do any given thing. Trust in Him and who He is, that He will lead us. Look at what the text says. They conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions. Well, who did that? Daniel. Quench the power of fire. The Hebrew boys in the furnace. Escape the edge of the sword. David. From weakness were made strong. Samson. Became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Write this down. Number two, faith will cultivate courage. You see, let me tell you a story. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never been in the cage at the zoo. I've stood outside of them. But animals can be pretty ruthless. Have you ever seen these YouTube videos with a clear glass and these lions trying to get to a child? But the man who went in, he was a praying man. And the next morning, he came out unscathed. Now, hold on to this. I'm getting there. Let's talk about the Hebrew boys in the fire. This is something I want you to get with the courage part of it. As King Nebuchadnezzar stands before them and says, who is this God that will deliver you from this flame in my hand? And they replied to him, if it be His will, He will remove us. And He is able. But if not, we still won't bow down before your graven image. But if not. But if not. They had no clue that somebody else was going to show up in the furnace. But they were willing to trust God for who He is. You see, the thing about this is I want you to understand. Now hold to this. Listen. Sometimes in the midst of courage, we may escape the danger. But not always. You see, the faith that cultivates courage means you're going to stand strong regardless of the outcome of the circumstances. That's why we consider it a joy when we go through trials and tribulations, as James says. Because it's not the trial that grips us. It's the hand of Almighty God that holds us. You see, when we truly have faith, we understand that we can face tomorrow. There's nobody here who wants to go through any trial or tribulation. There's nobody here that wants to be confronted with 300 men, 3,000 men, 4 million men facing you. There's none of us that want to go into places where we don't feel welcome. But let me tell you something. You have to remember it's not you going with your faith. It's God. I often think many times, is the reason we lack courage is we get focused on the valley instead of looking that we're headed to the next mountain. You know, it's easy to have courage when you know the outcome. You see, sometimes things happen. You see, it says right here in Scripture, women receive back from their dead by resurrection. What is he talking about? Talking about Elijah and the resurrected son. And she says, surely I know that you're a prophet of the Lord. Sometimes things work out to the way they think we're supposed to work out. But, number three, faith does incur cost. Guys, I'm going to get on a little part right here where you know I'm going. The prosperity gospel. They have never read these next few verses. Sometimes you will be pulled out of the fire. Sometimes you'll be pulled out of the lion's den. Sometimes people will bodily heal and not die. Sometimes your opposition will flee. Sometimes the circumstances that can seem impossible, God can handle the impossible, but sometimes He allows things to happen. I want to make that clear to you. I am not going to tell you that you're going to come out of the furnace. But what I can guarantee you is you're going to be in one. Remember what I say. You either headed toward a furnace, you're in one, or you're coming out of it. I'm not going to guarantee you that because of your faith, you will be free of trouble. It infuriates me to hear such. Listen what the text says. Listen. And others were tortured, not accepting their release so they may obtain a better resurrection. Wow. And others experienced mockings and scourgings. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and the holes in the ground. Let me tell you something. People have suffered for their faith. People die for their faith. It drives me crazy to hear that the Word of God has been turned into Six Flags over Jesus. People have died. They have lost everything that they have. They were sawn in two. Do you know where that comes from? According to church history or biblical history, Isaiah was sawn in two by the hands of Manasseh, who was Hezekiah's son. Sown in two by his own people. Jeremiah was rejected by his own people. Let me give you some encouragement. Our own people will turn on us for the cause of Christ. Your family will turn on you for the cause of Christ. Jesus is not somebody who exists to give you all the power and glory you think you deserve. He is worthy, as we just sung, of all praise and honor and glory. As the song goes, sometimes He calms the storm, sometimes He calms you. You're not guaranteed that everything's going to go your way. But I want to tell you the difference. It's the but if not that tests your faith. Whether you delivered or whether you stay in the fire, do you cry, but if not? God, give me the strength because I can't handle it on my own. You see, these were accredited righteousness because their faith was a but if not faith. Not every single one of these people could read the future or outcome. They didn't have a clue. But yet they trusted who God says He was. Now, that being said, people still die for their faith. The Bible says they wore sheepskins, coverings. They were poor people. Because their wealth was not of this world. Let me ask a question. If John the Baptist showed up in the church, would he be welcomed and loved? He didn't look too good. And he eat bugs. You've heard me say this. Listen to me. It's faith that saves you, not attending church or what you wear. Because I'll take the most evilest man you know, put a King James under his arm and put him in a suit and set him in the front pew and he'll still go to hell. It's by his faith that he is justified. Not by his works, not by his dress. So often we forget the words of God. Man looks at this. God looks at this. But let me give you some encouragement, people. And I'm going to bring to my fourth point, which is I got to drive it home. You see, the text says the world was not worthy of these. They were ill-treated. The world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes. They hid. Whether it was David fleeing Saul, whether it's people put out for their faith, whether it's being scared by Jezebel. Again, when you get your faith off track and get your eyes on your own self instead of trusting God, things happen. But listen to me. Listen to me. All of these having gained approval by their faith. Okay? They were flawed, but they had faith. They were flawed, but they had courage. They were flawed, but they stood on the promises of God. They had faith regardless. But look what the text says. I'm moving on. And these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Listen to me. This is very important. They didn't get to see the risen Messiah. They looked forward to the cross in shadows of the coming promise. Listen to me. They were justified looking forward. What faith? Listen, gained approval through their faith. They did not receive the promised Messiah, but they believed God was faithful in His promises. But yet we look, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Let me tell you something. We look back at the cross. We have seen and have heard the risen Savior. And yet, our faith still lacks. You see, they held to the complete sovereignty of God. God is in control. As they look forward in faith, we look back at faith. Number four, faith trusts in God's sovereignty. Now here I go. Scripture says, they that wait for Jehovah shall renew their strength, Isaiah 40:31. They that wait for me shall not be put to shame, Isaiah 49:23. Jehovah is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeks Him. It is good that a man should hope and quietly wait for salvation of Jehovah, Lamentations 3:25-26. David says in Psalms 40, I waited patiently for Jehovah, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Psalm 37:7, rest in Jehovah and wait patiently for Him. Listen to me. God's timing is not ours. And just because we want our circumstances to change doesn't mean that's God's plan. Listen to me. I'm trembling. I'm so tired of hearing about this eclipse. I'm so tired of hearing about the war, and I'm tired of hearing about politics. Please do not manipulate Scripture for American ideology. We're not in Babylonian captivity. We're not under King Ahasuerus. A text without context is a pretext for a proof text. Listen. I am so tired of people trying to justify our culture by Scripture. If that's the case, then my favorite verse is found in the King James, and it came to pass. Is it wrong, listen to me, to not stand up for what is right? Absolutely. Are we citizens in a free nation? Absolutely. Are we to do our civic duty? Absolutely. But listen to me, people. I don't care who's in office. Jesus is on the throne. And I'm so tired of hearing this. Oh no, what's going to happen? You stand firm on the promises of Jesus Christ. Stand firm. Well, I don't like abortion. I don't either. Then get out there and protest and be the Christian we're supposed to be. Being a Christian means being sold out to God in faith, trusting His sovereignty, not being a player because you wear the jersey. Chad, you not upset what's going on in this country? Absolutely. But the problem's sin. Because I want you to hear me, please. You may get mad at me, but I want you to listen to me. As the evangelist said, American Christianity is based more on a godless culture than it is the Word of God. I believe in being a responsible citizen. And God has given us the right to live here and given us able to, again, be good citizens. We got the ability to vote freely. We got this. And listen, I'm not getting political. I'm not doing that. And I want you to hear me clearly. By no means. But I'm going to tell you this, that your government's not going to save you, people. Only Christ can save. And to think because where we live, we're better than everybody else. If I believe God created all things, and I believe that regardless of what tribe or nation you come from, listen to me, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're Chinese, whether you're German, whether you're Hispanic, whatever nationality you are, God created us. And by His Son, Jesus Christ, we're brothers and sisters. You see, I believe God's sovereign. And people say, well, God put this person there, and God puts everybody everywhere. That's what we miss, people. Because the Bible tells me that God says, I am the one that establishes kings and kingdoms. He said that. Now, that doesn't mean that things are going to go the way we think they should. But I don't get depressed on who man is. I get down because who I am by not trusting God. Lost people act like lost people. It is said that in the United States, in less than 5 years, we'll be a minority if you're a believer. Now we're going to find out who's real. I believe for standing up for rights. Don't hear me wrong. Because everybody's going to say, Chad's downing. I'm not downing anybody. I'm just telling you this. I put more faith in my God, Yahweh, the creator of all things, He who sent Jesus Christ to die for me, more than I do a group of people who are flawed. This is the Word of God. Wait on Him. Chad, what do you believe? Here's the thing. The reason I keep this played in today. I've got more questions about this eclipse. Chad, what do you think the prophetic word is? Well, it's always been repent and believe. You know, well, what does eclipse mean? Well, here's the moon. And here's the earth. And you know, what happens is this light shines. And it's blocked out. And it goes dark. What about these other nations that are threatening war? We might see it. But I tell you this. My God's got it. Chad, have you seen all the signs on the side of the road? Man, what do you think about the upcoming election? God's still in control. Chad, you're flippant. No, I'm not flippant. But I believe, this is what I wanted to tell you, I believe they believed in their promises. You see, Isaiah was sown into by his people. Jeremiah was rejected by his people. Taking a stand for Christ, you will be rejected. It's 2,000 years later, and he's still intimidating people. So where are you going with this? I want to encourage you this. Don't lay your treasures on earth where moth and rust will destroy. You lay your treasures in heaven. Your faith and how you react says a lot about you. You know, I've been disappointed too. And I am proud to have the opportunity to be able to stand here freely and proclaim the Word of God. Others don't have that opportunity. I thank God for the people who paid that price. I thank God for all that He's done for me. But if we lost everything tomorrow, would we still say He's worthy? Guys, don't do your part as a citizen, but you trust in Jesus Christ. He won't leave you or forsake you. You trust in God. Chad, what if the whole world goes evil? Then be the light. Listen. Be encouraged. We're flawed, but we serve an unflawed Christ. Which goes to show me, if God can use Rahab the harlot, He can use anybody for His glory. Oh, I want to go side note on this real quick. God uses evil people too. Speaking of which, I got to throw this side note because I think it helps a little bit. Maybe not, but I'm gonna listen. You ever heard of Nehemiah? He built a wall. Now don't go where people... But listen to me. Listen to me. He built a wall. Why? You see, he was worried because his brothers and sisters in bondage had no way to protect themselves. Now hear me? So he prayed, he wept, and he fasted. And what did God do? Now he was a cupbearer, which means he drank the poison for the king. That was a job of power. But listen, he drinks. That's what he is, a cupbearer. And to go before the king, listen to me, with a sad countenance could give you a sentence of death. But he goes before him and says, I'm concerned about my people. Not only did God open the heart of a pagan king, but he paid for the wall. God's going to receive his glory. Had to throw that side note. Not going down a rabbit trail, whatever. I think it's applicable. To go to show you this. Tomorrow, God's still on the throne. January 1st, God's still on the throne. 3 years from now, God's still on the throne. The question for you is, do you have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ? Because we're not on the throne. So that being said today, listen to me. Do you trust Him? See, as we're talking, He is worthy. You see, I love the example that He is worthy when He says, who can open the scroll, Revelation? Whereas John began to weep because there was nobody worthy to open the scroll, angel said, why are you weeping? He's worthy. Well, see, John was weeping because even all the saints of the old were up there, but yet nobody could say a word. Nobody was worthy. But Christ is worthy. Is what you're living for worth Christ dying for? As Leonard Ravenhill would say. Are we flawed? Absolutely. Am I going to fail? Yes. I will let you down. I'll let my children down. I'll let my family down. I'm flawed. But the Holy Spirit will get us back on track. The whole point of this is this. When you say you trust in Jesus, it's not believing that He died and rose from the dead. Demons believe that. It's committing in that belief. Believing and trusting in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Which means following Him unswervingly. And trusting in Him regardless of circumstances. You see the most importance of this? Because the saints of old were justified as they looked dimly to the cross. Our faith is in Jesus Christ who came. The promise made it. He came and He died for men, that all of us would be reconciled to the Father if we place our trust in Him. Have you done that? Listen. Brothers and sisters, we may lose everything we have. Hold and swerving to the cross. This nation might get eviler and eviler and eviler. Hold unswervingly to the cross. You may lose your home, you may lose your job, you may lose your Social Security, you may lose your 401k, your family might die, you may get sick with cancer and die. Hold unswervingly to the cross. Because when you lay your treasures in heaven and you get eyes focused on heaven, let me tell you something. This world don't mean as much as you think it does. But as a born-again believer, you put your faith in this. First and foremost, Christ. And second of all, you pray and you share the gospel with others that they may be saved. The time is now. That's why He's running out of time. The time is now. Christ is still on the throne. You trust His sovereignty. You take your flaws that the devil's posted in your head and you say, you know what? If I'm a born-again believer, God will use me in spite of myself. You hold unswervingly to that. You take courage, not in yourself, but in the Lord. Do you understand that? In the Lord. Which means when you love others that don't love you back, it's got to be in the Lord because you can't do it on your own. When you go into battle with odds so insurmountable, you take courage, not in yourself, but in the Lord. But understand that our faith may come at a cost. You see, brothers and sisters, I'm not guaranteed tomorrow, neither are you. You know what? I may die today, I may die tomorrow. But if I go out, I'll go trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you do too. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for your grace and mercy. God, we pray that you would use us for your glory. Lord, I'm thankful for my wife and kids, my family. I'm thankful for the home that you let me have. I'm thankful to live in a country where there's freedom. Lord, I'm thankful for those who paid the price. Lord, I'm thankful that I can come and worship here. I can worship in my home. I can worship in the street. Lord, I'm thankful that you provide food. Lord, you provide eyesight. You give me air in my lungs. And Lord, I'm thankful for that. But God, I pray that you teach me and us to be thankful when things aren't always so peachy. That we understand it's a part of your sovereign plan. We may not grasp it nor get it. God, I pray that you would encourage my brothers and sisters here to, yes, do their civic duty, but trust in you regardless of circumstances. God, I pray today that in their job place, in their home, that your name is above all names. God, I pray that we would place more faith in you than we do men. God, I pray for those who do not have a relationship with you. I pray that you would convict their hearts before it's eternally too late. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And as we learned in our theology class, which we know, Lord, that the righteous are in your presence and the unrighteous are consigned to hell. Because, God, we have belittled your name. Lord, we are born into a world of sin and inherited it. And Lord, we transgressors because we willfully do it. But God, through your Son Jesus Christ, you have provided reconciliation that we may be justified by faith in Him. And we praise your name. God, for those that are here today, they may be struggling, they may be wondering. Lord, they may be scared by future events. But Lord, I know who holds tomorrow. And you are in control. And Lord, I believe whether you come back tomorrow or whether you come back in 200 years or whether you tarry for a very long time, Lord, if I leave this world today, I'm going to be in your presence because you have promised that if I trust in you, that you would seal me. God, I pray for those again that would hold on to that ceiling to know that you hold tomorrow. You establish kings and kingdoms. God, we all get concerned. Not that I'm taking a flippant attitude. Yeah, I get concerned. I don't like the way the world's going. Violence is on the rise. Things happen. But God, we can be the light in a dark world. Just like the judges, when they did what was right in their own eyes, you would raise up a beacon of light. But God, they were temporary men and women. But Lord, you have given us eternal light. And no matter who's around, no matter what anybody says, you cannot crush the light of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for this day. I pray that, Lord, you move among us. Work with us, Lord, that we would have a heart on fire to serve you continuously and to share the good news. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Stand and worship with us.